Show.
Welcome back to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Jay Dyer. Jay's analysis with my beautiful wife, Jamie. And I want to remind you that I will be at a live event if you're in the Florida area, October 25th and 26th. It's a massive, mega two-day live stream comedy podcast event. We'll have a lot of speakers, a lot of stand-ups, a lot of people from the libertarian sphere. Leonardo Joni will be there. We'll have Elijah Schaefer there. Many other people are coming. Nephilim Death Squad guys will be there. And if you head on over to my Twitter, X at the top, you can get the tickets there to the Bohemian Grove event. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll be doing some comedic stuff. I will be performing some cringecore music live, which is sweeping the land. So go get those tickets. Also, if you are interested in our books, my wife and I have all of our books in the shop at jasonelsis.com. And if you head over there, you can get her book on Hollywood. You can get my book on esoteric theology, philosophy, Hollywood, all of that. All of my books are there, signed copies in the shop. So don't get them from Jeff Bezos, get them from us, and you get signed copies. Now, you were telling us about these different cults and the importance that the role of the goddess played in controlling the masses. And really, we're seeing the reemerge. It's not accidental that we're going into global government, and it's the rise of the goddess ISIS religion. In fact, Madame Blavatsky, who we covered in several fourth-hour streams in terms of her espionage background and history, her being very closely linked to the Milner, Fabian, Rothschild circles to spread the proto-New Age movement. I mean, she writes ISIS Unveiled. I just got an actual first edition of that two-volume set the other day, and it's very important, again, for understanding that the system, the establishment, even if you're thinking about something that's so-called scientific, like the Tavistock Institute, which is a big player in pushing this trans agenda for the last decade or so. I mean, Tavistock is very interested also in studying and crafting ideologies and religions and cults for the masses. So you think, well, they studied psychological warfare and propaganda and shell shock. Why would they study it? Because it's about control. That's why. So anything that has the power to have control over people's minds, things like religion, and especially New Age feminist goddess cults, are very important for where we are going. So take it up where you left off.
So we were talking about the cobblestone that came to Rome with the goddess worshippers, and that is very close to what they have in Mecca right mm-hmm. now in the cornerstone of their, what is that called?
Well, it's like a relic for them, so.
Yeah. So this throws back to goddess worship in Mecca as well. So when Imperial Rome conquered, the large part of the Mediterranean world, the religion of Sibyl would follow. And these came to be known as the begging priests. And in the Golden Ass, they are portrayed as living in collectives, loosely attached to local temples from which they venture to prowl the streets and countryside, begging for alms and performing spectacular religious rites. And some of these involve self-harm. So do you want me to read this?
Well, I've read the Golden Ass, and they actually talk about their version of the Virgin Goddess. So they actually worship this Virgin Goddess, which is kind of a mimic of the idea of what Christianity has for the Blessed Virgin. But And as you know, in their cult, this is very different. This was like a mutilation cult.
Well, and not just that, it was a public mutilation cult. So the theater of self-harm, it says, the following day they went out, talking about the Gauli, wearing various colored undergarments with turbans and saffron robes and linen garments thrown over them, and everyone hideously made up. Their faces crazy with muddy paints and their eyes artfully lined. Does this sound like what's
this
going
on? This sounds like a pride parade.
Yeah. Some wore white tunics fastened with belts with purple stripes in every direction, like spears, and yellow shoes on their feet. They put the goddess, draped in a silk cloak, on the back to carry, and with their arms buried the shoulders, hoisting enormous swords and battle axes, they left about shouting, raving in a religious dance to the singing of pipes. After wandering by a few small cottages, they arrived at some villas of landowners, and entering the first one, they immediately flew around every which way howling. For a long time, they would hang their heads down on their necks with quick twisting motions, whirl their hair hanging around in circles, and sometimes assail their flesh with bites. So they're just like going around in these mad mobs, begging for money, telling fortunes, what's that word? Advertising prostitution.
Well, it's and I mean, the castration that's involved is another extreme form of self-harm.
Yes. And he says, you could see by the cutting of the swords and the blows of the whips, the soil became wet and filthy with the blood of the effeminates. So what is the purpose of all of this? Now, they talk about in this paper that sensory disorder in talking about religious rites around the world can create a liminal state of consciousness in which normal distinctions, including in some cases those of gender, are suspended, and this state is the prelude to subsequent reintegration. So in their mind, they are becoming one again in that mystical way before the fall.
Yeah, there's a notion of the original monad. This is a Neoplatonic doctrine. Neoplatonism is very influential in the trans stuff, even if they don't know about it in terms of philosophy. The whole idea of Baphomet having both of the genders. Kabbalistic teaching also has in some of its schools and segments this idea that God was bisexual, Adam Kadmon was bisexual. So a lot of the esoteric Hermetic schools, Plato as well, said that the original deity, the original thing, God thing, to use the Biden terminology, Biden's worldview, the God thing was originally this, bisexual thing. And so to return to a non-binary state or to, you know, mutilate yourself is somehow some sacramental religious action of getting closer to the original monad. And all of this is obviously gibberish, but it's interesting when you have this esoteric mystical view, how different it is from, you know, what's in Genesis, where man and woman are created obviously biologically and in terms of gender distinct in the beginning. It's the fall into, it's not a fall into sexuality as some people have thought within history to make biology and sexuality bad. So the idea is that in order to save man and to save humanity, you have to transgress all boundaries as if boundaries themselves are the problem. But that's actually the ideology here, is that all boundaries, whether national, whether international, whether social, biological, sexual, everything must be transgressed. All boundaries must be removed to create the ultimate blob that we're all going into.
Yes, so undoubtedly the most shocking practice back then that was attributed to these cults, the Gali in particular, was self-castration. And then they talk about Carl Jung and his comments on the figure of the androgynous person as a projection of a longing for return to the primordial unity.
Exactly what I'm saying. About. That's the Gnostic, Neoplatonic idea, and I know that they have differences between them, but ultimately the idea is we have to return, escape the body, and go back to the one in some way. And I just read, by the way, keep in mind, he was Agent 488 in the OSS. Carl Jung was a spy. He wasn't just a psychoanalyst. He was also working for the Allied forces as a spy and operative. But the Nashville shooters manifesto was recently released, and I read several pages of that last night doing some research for this. And you'll notice the same patterns in the way that that individual spoke as well, that they, on the one hand, hated their body and their identity. They felt that they were dissociated from what they were born with, and that if they adopted this other identity and this other physical manifestation, they would be happy. But of course, in every manifestation, in the way this person described it in her journal, and she had drawn all these different sort of alternate personalities within another personality. I don't know if this person was MPD, DRD, DID, but the way that she describes herself and draws herself in the diary seemed to give that impression as if she's like a Russian doll of personas within personas. And so in the same way, there's this worship of the body and pleasure at the same time as hating the body and wanting to leave it. So there's this weird duality where these people, I think, constantly flip back and forth between worshiping themselves and the body and the passions, and then also hating it, wanting to destroy it, which is demonic, I think, at the end of the day.
So for natural-born hermaphrodites, also in the ancient world, they were seen as some kind of a portent of something super good or super bad. So what would that translate to?
So like Jonah Hill is coming and yeah. McLovin, yeah. Something super bad.
So they were marvels, monsters, prodigies, and signs. Now I'm talking about natural-born hermaphrodites, not the self-made ones like the Gali. But these people They were also thought of as neither male nor female, occupied simultaneously social and supernatural planes, and both poles of the moral continuum. So they were like what we talk about with the idea of the magician above the checkerboard floor. They transcended good and evil because they were neither male or female.
You mean like in a Masonic lodge, yes, or in a black lodge, yes, or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. So the Gali were widely assumed to be sexually active with other men, and this also goes along with the temple prostitution, male temple prostitution. And since the homosexual practices were for the receptive partner considered androgenizing, the sexual activity of the Gali served to overdetermine their status as androgynous. So bottoms were androgynous and tops not so much.
Gali.
Gorsh.
It makes it, I mean, wasn't that guy gay? The guy that was always saying golly. And
I
think, is he in, what's the show with Ron Howard?
Happy Days?
Oh, when he was a kid.
Oh.
Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
Wasn't that guy gay?
I don't
Jim
know.
Neighbors.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe he wasn't saying golly. I don't know.
So here we have Christianity and paganism, or the worship of Sibyl, clashing in some cities. They were fighting in the streets when the festivals of the two religions coincided, as they often did in the spring. So the Christian fathers found it necessary to pass canon laws against the practice of self-castration by fanatical ascetics who would do it in the name of Christianity because they had learned it from these cults. So yeah, it became a canon that you do not do that.
Keep in mind that this is why the church, in one respect, not just his theology, but Origen is condemned as a heretic. He's one of the most famous early church fathers, who was anti-Trinitarian, but also he was a Neoplatonist who had very similar views to this. He actually castrated himself, and that's one of the reasons why he was excommunicated. So Origen, who placed really centrally into early subversions of Christianity, is a great example of this. And again, he was a Neoplatonist who thought that ultimately the body was a prison. We got to return back to the monad, to the one. We got to be reabsorbed into the collective.
Mm-hmm. So let's switch gears and go to India for a second, where they are worshiping the goddess called Bahuchara Mata. And this cult actually is a contemporary cult. They still exist, called the Hijra. And this paper is supposing that the roots may be as old or older than the Gali, going all the way back to Inanna of Sumeria, which is the end of this paper. So the Hijra are super welfare queens. They live in collectives with recognized leaders like gurus. They enjoy acknowledged begging rights. Their primary religious function is to appear at weddings and childbirth to call down the blessings of the goddess.
But the people are retarded.
Yes.
As Osho says, right? The people.
Democracy is devoid of the people.
Yeah.
Okay. So these public performances of the Hijra share several features with the rites of the Gali, including loud rhythmic music, flutes, drums, wild dancing, and body behavior. Also, to earn a livelihood through institutionalized begging and prostitution. The most striking parallel they talk about is...
So they're just like ancient rave festival bros.
Like,
it sounds like an
ancient communist goddess. Weird. Castration.
But everybody who goes to like a festival would believe in socialism, so...
That's true. So again, these practice castration. In both cases, the procedure appears to have been traditionally performed in a temple with parts buried under a tree. And this is also harharkening back to Osiris.
I was
going to
say, this sounds like Osiris because he also has the John Bobbitt scenario going
exactly. on. Exactly. So in the case of the Hijra, both the penis and testicles are removed by an expert. While the initiate chants the name of the mother goddess, the blood is allowed to flow freely in the belief that it drains away the heat that is a source of both maleness and sexual desire. So they're getting rid of their... They want the low T.
Testosterone.
Yes. Yeah. As a result, the initiate is... in Nirvana, he is liberated or reborn and becomes a sannyasi, or a saint who embodies the strength of the goddess. So again, it does not transform the Hijra into women. They are neither men nor women, but they do exaggerate their femininity because they are men, and they do the body public behavior. The
what behavior?
Body.
B-A-W-D. Body.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the response to these people, when you see them, they say it hovers between fear and awe. Failure to respond to the request for alms might cause them to utter a fearful curse or worse, to lift their saris to reveal the scars of the operation that made them holy, an act certain to doom to the viewer, to doom the viewer to calamity. So how many times have you seen this crazy stuff in like a pride parade or something like that? So you have been cursed.
So it's a ritual action there, basically.
So them showing that to you is cursing you.
Mm.
Right. Addis 2, he is
the curse of the junk. Is that what you're saying?
Curse of the missing junk.
Curse of the junk.
Yeah.
Or the non-junk, negative junk.
Yes. Curse of the Kendall. Okay. So Addis, yes, he was castrated. And now let's go to Sumeria, where we talk about Inanna, one of the oldest goddesses. Her priests were called Gala, G-A-L-A. And in their hymns, they both praised and pleaded with the gods for their goodwill. Their job was to be the temple musicians and continuously sing liturgies and lamentations to Inanna. according to the Babylonian text, Enki created the Gala especially to sing heart-soothing laments for the goddess Inanna. The office of chief Gala was one of the highest officials in the city. Now, this is even older. This is like Babylon, Uruk, times. Mm-hmm. Old timey times. Anunnaki times. So they were the temple choir, basically, for the Anunnaki. The Gala had a role in supervising some of the female personnel referred to by modern scholars as temple prostitutes. So this is the holy prostitute again. Their roles involved the gender transgression. Also, homosexuality was more than implied. The name or the word for Gala was written using the cuneiform signs for penis plus anus.
Penis.
Yes. So the penis of Anunnaki.
This is rated R all of a sudden. So.
Sorry.
This is what they're pushing. I mean, so
this is where we get.
This is what they're doing.
The Met right Gala. Now. This is where we get pride parades. This is where we get divination, astrology, tarot.
They're ancient religious processions. They're state-funded religious processions from the ancient world.
So they would go around portraying the goddess in ritual by wearing masks and cross-dressing. Now we're talking about Inanna in Sumeria. The proceedings strikingly similar to those of the Gali of Greco-Roman era, involving the brandishing of swords, knives, and clubs, and perhaps bloodletting performed in a trance state. So
this is like the prophets of Baal and Elijah, too.
Exactly. They were also known for their prominence in crisis rites. So this is an interesting thing of antiquity. So if you did not know what was going to happen in the cosmos, like an eclipse, for example, and the priestcraft did know, they could say this is the god coming in a certain time. We need to appease him with some sacrifices, and then you would just have to go along because you didn't know that these were naturally occurring phenomenons, right?
Yeah, like an Apocalypto Mel Gibson movie, yeah.
So things like lunar eclipses and stuff, they were called out to dissolve the evil, right? So now you've got at the time of the birth of Christ, you've got the Gali missionizing the Roman Empire. You've got the Assyrians still doing this. The Gala of Mesopotamia still are a thing. Okay. And then to complete the picture, they have the eunuch priests of Artemis at Ephesus. They also have male temple prostitutes.
The Gala.
That's what I'm saying. Right?
That one's too easy.
Okay. So all these roles share the traits of devotion to a goddess, gender transgression, homosexuality, and ecstatic ritual techniques. So losing your mind, sex, drugs, rock and roll, anything.
That's to a rave,
tune in, drop out. What is that? How does it go? Tune in, turn on, drop out, or whatever. Yeah.
Turn
off. So we tune in, turn off, drop out. Sibyl, Bahucharamata, and Inanna Ishtar, all three are credited with the power to inspire divine madness, which can include the transformation of gender.
Well, there's also the Bacchanalia in the ancient world, too, which was intentionally a descent into madness to reenact primordial chaos from which life and humanity and order supposedly springs. So, in other words, man isn't an intentional creation. It's kind of an accident. And so to celebrate the chaos at Bacchanalia and other events, men would dress up like women, mm-hmm. women would act like men. And so there's always this transgression of the established, natural borders and delineations, which is seen as a ritual action to enact primordial chaos on purpose.
Right. So all of these transgress patriarchal roles and structures. The influence of these goddesses, they talk about how they're often as destructive as beneficial. So it's not like this mother goddess that is altruistic. It is a dual destruction and creation goddess.
Yes.
So to destroy, to build up, to tear out, and to settle are yours, Inanna. This is an ancient poem. Sumerian text says, in the next line, to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man are yours, Inanna.
Okay. Right. Now, I got to hear, how are we going to get to
the... We're going to have to do a part two next week.
We have to do a part two.
Because we're almost done with this paper. So, the three cultural regions, goddess-inspired priests, were conceptualized as occupying a distinct gender category, so neither man nor woman. In the Sumerian creation myth, they talk about how the creator fashioned seven types of physically challenged persons, including the woman who cannot give birth and the one who has no male organ or no female organ. And then the god Enki has to find an occupation.
Well, it's always uggos that lead these movies. I mean, like Tristan did a live stream last night, our friend on YouTube. Shout out to Tristan Haggard. He did a whole live stream on polyamorous and polycule relationships. And it's literally like all just total uggos that run
right.
that do this stuff.
And it's the frequent reference to priests of the goddess as eunuchs or impotent, and not just because they were so overcome. It's because they have 14 different categories of impotent men, including those naturally impotent men who have castrated themselves, those who are cursed by a supernatural curse, or those afflicted by jealousy, those who spill their seeds, so coomers, and those who are shy, so incels. So they're actually having to find a place in society for these men who cannot do the patriarchal thing of being part of society, having a family, having a job, being a provider, those type of typical patriarchal roles.
So they're essentially trans and incel individuals in the ancient world on the dole.
Yes, and they are tied to the idea of liberty or being liberated from the patriarchy, because being a man is too hard. So
they're liberated from responsibility.
Yes. So they're liberated what they call the reign of the phallus, and the self-emasculation is a fantasy of escape from irreconcilable tensions, rendering oneself incapable of fulfilling social or sexual demands of the patriarchal male.
One thing this shows, again, for those that are listening, you're wondering, what does this have to do with anything? Look, the social engineers and the technocrats, this is an academic paper showing that they've studied the ancient world and how societies were ruled and controlled in the ancient world, and they just utilize all those same principles, techniques, and practices today. They just regurgitate, rehash everything. So that's why this is so relevant for now.
Right. So from the perspective of someone who experiences the demands on their masculinity as unwanted, they could castrate themselves and go into nirvana or liberation, right? And this is the liberation of responsibility, because the possession of a working phallus was identified with masculinity.
It's the phallus liberation front.
Yes.
They're going to liberate everybody from the phallus.
Well,
which is what the feminists say today. They're basically the penis liberation front.
A working phallus was associated with masculine agency, citizenship. And so to cut this off was a statement of indifference towards the responsibility of being a man citizen, right? So we were talking about Osiris's broken phallus. When they do this, they can serve as vehicles for the transmission of the sexual energy of the goddess. They become her phallus, as it were, erotic aesthetics. So that is this paper, Priests of the Goddess, Gender Transgression in Ancient Religion by Will Roscoe for Stanford University. And then next week...
Now, keep in mind, Stanford Research Institute is where we get all the remote viewing, all the occult studies. That's when the government was in the 1960s and especially the 70s, studying the occult, trying to master those techniques. This is where we get Ministeric Goats, all of that stuff comes out of SRI, a Stargate project, the occult, the gateway process, all of that comes out of SRI, Stanford Research. So that's also a big sort of adjacent to MKUltra studies. They produced the famous Changing Images of Man, which is another famous white paper about how we're going to go into a completely different world. Did you want to leave us with me?
Yeah, so I guess we'll have to have a part two next week. We'll go into all of that blubber about how Washington, D.C. was built to house a goddess, a particular goddess. We'll save that for next week and be her body and live inside of her.
Well, you can follow Jamie on YouTube, Jamie Hanshaw, and on Rockfin as well. You can follow me on X, Jay Dyer. and this is the Alex Jones Show. Go to the InfoWars store and get those products.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI's now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD. Test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.